And so as they're all transitioning, we're going to transition to considering what we've been thinking about for the last few weeks. There are at least one handout, maybe two, when you came in today. So you might have gotten the handout that's called Crestview Assessment Guide. And then back on the stand at the back of the room, there's also this handout called The First Principles. And this is a zine that we worked through last week. So if you didn't get one of these last week, there were some at the stand at the back of the room. If that's out, there's some at the information desk. So if you still have yours from last week or if you left it at home, that's okay. You don't need it today. I just wanted to make sure everybody gets one that wants one to think through this. This is another way of restating what our five sermons on the first principles were all about. And so today we're going to, as I said last week, we're hearing from you all. Like, what learning has taken place? What's emerged? And so first off, a word about this assessment guide. The assessment, hearing that word may sound very intimidating to you, like we've assigned the ACTs this morning or something. And that's really not the heart behind this. We need good questions to engage our soul. And theologians have used this for years. One of these assessments that I love is by Isaac Watts, and he took the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and wrote questions that elders can ask themselves to see whether they're walking in the step of those books. And so those questions, it's like, oh man, I got some growth to do. David Pallison famously had his, I think it's 50 questions related to idols, something like that. And so those were helpful in exposing what's going on in our hearts. We have worked through before as a congregation the 50 fruits of pride and questions that go with that as a way of exposing what's going on in our hearts. And so in the spirit of these questions, we're thinking through those five sermons. So one on the gospel, one on baptism, one on first principles, one on renewing our minds, and one on the lifestyle of a disciple. And these questions are meant to for you to assess. So I think one area that you need to assess is yourself. So, I mean, I can assess others terrifically, and most all of us can, right? But do some work and consider, like, do I really have a strong grasp of the full unadulterated gospel? Do I really know what that is? Are there areas of my life in which I tend to stray from the gospel? And does my understanding of the gospel impact my daily life? And so if you're doing well, which again, my sense of most of this room is on most of these, we're probably doing well as a church. But there might be areas where, man, there's a slight problem. Gospel's my Sunday jam, but maybe not the rest of the week. So there's a slight problem there. What can I do so that my understanding of the gospel impacts my daily life? That's kind of the spirit in which this is given. And so it'd be a great tool for you to use to think through kind of your small group maybe and how that's functioning. Mom and dad, this might be a great way for you to look at what's going on in your home and think about steps you need to take with your kids to help them get the things that we're teaching. It might be great for you to even think through, like as a church, you know, are we doing well in these areas or not? So these are the kind of questions that we're asking in leadership a lot. You know, like how does this need to impact what we're doing together as a church? So this is that tool, the assessment guide. And rather than like landing on your own insight as the end all, I'd encourage you to talk to others in your small group about it. Talk to others in your life about it. Like, do you see, I gave myself a doing well here. Do you feel like that's accurate? I mean, husbands, wives, I think it's a great thing to talk about with one another. Or bring it up in your small group and just say, man, I felt like on this one, there seems to be a slight problem in my life or a major problem. And so, I mean, help me understand what's being asked here and let your small group do some of that work so we can learn together as a faith community. And with the zine, this just gives you, again, a tool. I mentioned last week that these are real things that exist in the world. This concept of zine, and then, of course, I go home and Google's showing me zines that people are producing. I saw one on, if you'd like to know, an easy way to read through Marcus Aurelius. There's a zine produced to help you walk through that. You know, it's like, okay. I think mine's more profitable spiritually. But whatever. So there's these exist for other things, movies and music and all kinds of things. So hope that's a helpful tool for you. Jason and Tom, elders, they both have things to say. So you guys want to come up and we're going to let them say a quick word and then are we doing a Norman Rockwell shot? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I guess he had a sickle, didn't he? Or a pitchfork. Let's see, this is not on. There we go. There you go.
Okay. I'll just say this is this little thing that Phil just printed out here, that assessment thing. It's pretty fantastic. But by way of, like, this is kind of unusual, you know, what we're doing here on Sunday morning, at least not what a lot of us might be used to. And we just finished going through what is called Series 1, Book 1 of Becoming a Disciple. This is like the book that a lot of the sermon series is based on, and Phil's zine was inspired from. And so, becoming a disciple, how are we doing with that as a church? And I think this little assessment guide will really help us to look at that. But how are we doing at becoming and making disciples? Over the last year, as we've started down this path, many of you may have felt like we're handing you a shovel. Like, we're trying to give you some work to do, but you're like, what do I do with this? And maybe some of you, you're looking at this shovel and you feel like, oh, there's work to do. And you're kind of excited, but why do I need a shovel? Why something new? Why something different? Aren't we doing just fine? Here's the thing. Did you know that we're in a discipleship crisis in the United States? Every major Christian polling group has identified in one way or another this reality. Over the last 20 years, I'm going to read some stuff. Over the last 20 years or so, we haven't even maintained our numbers. We've dropped from 90% of the population to 64%. The population has grown by 90 million people in the United States, and there are 15 million fewer Christians than there were 25 years ago. And with those who call themselves Christians and attend church regularly, we're doing some measures a fairly poor job of actually making disciples by Jesus' definition in Matthew 28, those who observe all that Jesus taught. Only 5% of pastors in the U.S. say their churches have a defined plan for discipling new converts. And only 1% of the pastors in the United States say that their churches are doing well at actually making disciples. So what does this have to do with our discussion this morning and applying these lessons to our mind, our hearts, and our lives? Well, for me, those of us up here, as elders, there is a burden on my heart and a real responsibility before God to equip us for the work of ministry, which is making mature disciples, not just maintaining status quo or adding attenders. Okay? Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says, "And Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So if you catch what's going on here, it's elders, pastors, they're to equip the body so that the body builds itself up, not just to keep coming to church, but that we actually measure up and grow into the image of Christ together. Like, when the world sees us, they should be like, man, that's what Jesus looks like. That's the goal. Jesus wants more from us. This is what I believe. I think you guys are all amazing, and I am excited to be here. And I think by and large, we're doing better than a lot of the churches. But I believe Jesus wants more from us. Okay? Jesus wants us to be a well-watered garden and a river of living water in a barren and broken world. So, for that, deeper wells are needed. Okay? And we as elders, we look at where we're at as the church. We've been talking about this, discussing it, praying about it, and we think deeper wells need to be dug. Hence, the shovel. Okay? And we've decided to start using materials from this place called BUILD. It's Biblical Institute for Leadership Development, is what it stands for. Now, these materials, this is not something new. They're used all across the world in tens or hundreds of thousands of churches, mostly in the developing world, for growing and rapidly multiplying churches and making robust disciples at the same time, something we seem to struggle with. This is the material Luke has been using in his church network in Asia. He'll talk more about that next week. Does it feel different? Does it feel different than what maybe some of us have been used to in our church experience? Yes, I think some of you are feeling that. Like, man, I feel like somebody's trying to hand me a shovel. What's this for? What's going on? Is it effective in making mature disciples who make disciples? Yes. Is it scripturally based? Emphatically, yes. Build, they are trying to cut through the clutter. This is my interpretation of it, of what they're doing. They are trying to cut through the clutter of 2,000 years of secondary traditions that we have come up with to find the core principles that the apostles were teaching and using in the churches of the New Testament. This is my way of thinking of it. They're trying to future-proof the church by finding the ancient paths and the biblical truths to stand on. Their materials are fairly comprehensive. I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've been church leadership for 25 of that in various forms, and I don't think I've ever seen anything quite as comprehensive in its scope, from beginning to end. They're not just teaching you head knowledge. They're actually teaching you how to live your life and making leaders in the church at the same time. Is it perfect? No, by no means. Kind of like the shovel. If you look at the shovel, the owner of this didn't do a good job cleaning it off. If you're going to dig a hole and you've dug holes before, you know that a flat shovel is not the best thing to use necessarily. But it's better than maybe having a little garden spade that's like 4 inches long. We're trying to level up our shovel, so to speak. And it might feel a little uncomfortable. We might get some blisters. So is it perfect? No. Are we following their materials blindly? No. We're trying to use wisdom and work into this patiently with you guys. I say that like, oh, I thought this was supposed to be like an application for you, Jason. It is. As I have thought through this book and what it's saying, and it's talking about making disciples and who I am and what is on my heart. This is the burden on my heart. I want to see people come to know Jesus. And I am convinced through the scriptures that the only way to do that, Jesus had this crazy plan that it's through our love for one another. That there's something about the church as a body of believers making Jesus known that is revolutionary. And I'm excited. And so that's where I'm at. This is my application. We have a shovel and we want to give it to you and we want to do some work together, to be a river of living water. So that's my thought. If you have any questions, we can talk later, but, I'm gonna hand it over to Tom. He's got his own mic.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Yeah, and we're all on the same page on this a lot. One of the first things I want to do is I just want to thank our music ministry team, all right, for all the work that they do. I loved it when Gabe went with the boom, 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 boom with the drums, you know. All right. And so this is a vision of what happened this morning of the church. You know, if we were asked to ask you the question, what is the church or who is the church? We are the church, the bride of Christ, that someday, now, this local body, we're going to be in heaven around the throne, and I hope some of these songs are there. I want you to just envision that, the church body, who's the bride of Christ. What Jason just said, we're trying to prepare you to be so much like Christ that when we come into his presence and when the consummation happens at the marriage of the Lamb, it's going to be so wonderful. We're going to know him so well that there's not going to be so much of a transition because we're already doing it. And that's kind of where we want to go with this. And I think that one of the things I get questions sometimes is, why are we going through, these seems pretty basic stuff so far. Why are we doing this? And so, one, I think there's different levels of maturity within this room. Some have been Christians for years. Some are fairly new. We got some younger ones that are just growing in their faith. I think it's important that we understand that. And so what I want you to do with me, just a quick, turn over to 2 Timothy 2 with me, please. 2 Timothy 2. And he tells us, starting out a little bit about it. Now, my headline on my, you know, get your Bible, whatever that form that's in right now. It's easier for me to have this than my book. He tells us about the grace of Jesus. He tells us that we're the soldiers of Christ. He says, remember Jesus in verse 8. Risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in the gospel, for which I'm suffering. But I want you to go down to verse 14. This is why we're doing what we're doing to some extent. Remind them of these things and charge them before God. Okay, now listen to this. Not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it would lead people into more and more ungodliness. Now that's coming. We're going to get to this passage. Have we talked to that passage already? Okay, we will. But so that's just a picture that I want you to try to get at what we're trying to do. Shouldn't be arguing. I think one of the things that comes back to my mind more than anything as I talk to people is Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, if we all assessed ourselves just on that one teaching alone, some of this other stuff may make a little more sense. So it's just not knowledge. These first principles, okay, well, I know some things now. How is that affecting the way you live your life toward one another, loving one another? Those are some of the things how well am I living the Beatitudes? If you go to Matthew 5 and look at that passage, how well am I doing that to one another within this community? And so I challenged my small group last week and said, well, this first point about the gospel, what is the gospel? If you were to go to tell somebody what is the gospel, I want to read something that somebody in my small group, we have small group thread that we contact very seldom, that we not have some sort of correspondence every week. But this is what they said. This is how we can learn from one another, because they gave us a perspective that maybe I wouldn't have looked at. This is what they said, if I can find it. See, this is what I would tell a non-believer the gospel is about. The gospel is not a rule, but a rule book, but a reunion. It is my heavenly Father sprinting across the distance my sin created, throwing his arms around me and calling me his child when I have nothing to offer but repentance. That's a perspective of someone else outside of my perspective. And you may share a perspective of what the gospel is this morning with this group, because we can learn from you what the gospel means and what it says. Now, in a few years, this may be adjusted. They may add to it. Man, I'm a little short. I need to beef that up a little bit. But isn't that a tremendous story of God's love for us that we sang this morning? He pursues us so strongly. Because what did I have to offer? My sin? All he wants me to do is repent. And we're his children, everyone in this room, if you've done that. So I just think that's wonderful that we can share with one another and grow with one another and learn from one another. And praying, I mean, one of the things I learned too, pray more. We need to be praying more as a church family. We need to be praying more. As Phil mentioned earlier, Chuck has a prayer class at 8:15 that he shared some passages of scripture, and we spend prayer for this church, spend time in prayer that anybody in this room can come to. Maybe we'll have to go down to the basement to the boiler room. That's kind of a Spurgeon thing there if you didn't catch that. But anyway, we want to seek wisdom and advice from one another. I want to challenge you to have a desire to be teachable. To be able to say, all these things through my whole life I've learned. Is there somewhere that I can improve on the way I live my life? Is there something that I haven't applied that I should be applying? That's what we want to do. A passage of scripture that I on my mind almost weekly, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." So the next time you're doing something, you're going, am I taking this thought in my mind, this action I'm doing, is that coming under the obedience of Christ? So that's what we want to try to accomplish in what we're doing. There's so much more, but I think what he said a lot, one thing came out to me that I'm trying to figure out. This I've heard this a lot the last few weeks. Frank speech. Anybody want to be talked to in frank speech? But yet it does us good. If we can go to one another and say, hey, your attitude the other day in this situation, do you think that lined up with what God's word's teaching? It'd be teachable. Be willing to say, no, it wasn't. My attitude wasn't very good. So that's what we want to try to accomplish in me, in you, with one another, that we can come under Jesus' authority when he says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. What does that look like? Sacrifice. That's one thing. Coming under the obedience of his scripture and his word, and that's what we want to accomplish. I think Jesus demands it. He calls for us. The apostles' teaching calls us to it as well. And that's what we want to do. Have I got this down? No. I'm a long way from it. But I need these guys, I need all of you to help me with my walk to get me to where I need to be. Because without you, I'm going to fail.
Okay. Yep. I think it's open mic time. So five lessons we went through: the gospel, baptism, first principles, renewing our minds, and lifestyle of a discipleship. The question is, how has this hit you, your heart, your mind, your life? What do you guys have you want to share? Tom and I will come running to you with the microphone. Oh, first.
Thanks. Oh, yeah. Another object lesson that I've been thinking about is the idea of well-worn paths, especially with first principles, the middle points, and how when you think of well-worn paths, I think of like in the Flint Hills where there's these really clear places that cattle have been traveling. Another good example is in Alaska where there's so few people. You can't cut across country. Like the weeds are taller than your head, and so you have to stick to the path. And I think what the first principles in my mind has helped me with is that I have some well-worn paths that I've worn throughout my 30 years of life, and it's so tempting to go back to those, and specifically the desire to just, when I think of God, to think he's displeased with me because of the way I behaved this week, that he doesn't want me to come to communion or to come and worship because of the way I behaved. And that's the well-worn path I want to walk from my childhood, from my teenage years, feeling this guilt. I want to continue down that. And these first principles encourage me, hey, there's this fork, and you can choose this other path. And as I continue to do that, that becomes the well-worn path. And I'm not tempted to go back into that guilt and that same thing. So that's been helpful. There's other things I feel like in the first principles that the well-worn path I have is the right one. And so I just like, it seems easy, kind of like Jason was talking about with the shovel. Some of the things are super easy for me, and some of them it's like, okay, I'm going to fight against my heart. I'm going to fight against my belief that God is displeased with me. I'm going to walk what Scripture says. And so that's been helpful, and I think as the series continues, that's the object lesson I want to continue to think about. Is this something that's coming from my childhood, from my upbringing, or is this something that's true with Scripture?
Good stuff, Andrew. Questioning the well-worn paths we've been walking. Do we need to make new ones?
And what you share doesn't have to be anything long. You could just have a sentence if you have something of just how any of these things are landing for you. That's what we're trying to hear. Half-baked ideas. Half-baked ideas, yeah. So it doesn't have to be fully cooked. It can just be half-baked.
Harold, I was going to call on him pretty soon anyway, so good thing he stood up.
That's dangerous. I've taught Sunday school, adult Sunday school, for probably 40, 45 years. And most of that time was spent with people that were in their 70s and 80s and 90s. And at one point, we had a new couple come to church and came to my class. And after attending for a while, the gentleman commented one day, he says, "How come you don't present the plan of salvation in your Sunday school class?" And it kind of hit me hard. I thought I had. But it wasn't the way he was used to hearing it. And so I made a point of doing that more often. But the thought that I'm having this morning, these were mature people, old people. You would expect that they had the plan of salvation down, wouldn't you? And yet there was a need. And it helped me to understand that even though at my age, I should know it all, but I don't, I still have a lot to learn. And I look forward to learning that. And I appreciate these first principles being a review of what it is to be a Christian, of what it is to be a follower, of what it is to be a part of the body of Christ, which is all of us. And I'm looking forward to the growth that God has for me. I'm not sure where it's going, but I'm open.
I don't think that was half-baked.
Thanks, Harold.
Thanks, Harold.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. I'll probably expound on them next week because I'm going to make a small presentation. What's amazing to me about what we're learning is, it's just fun stuff. And my particular ministry, God bless me, with was ministering to a really, really tough demographic. So I remember when I was first a Christian, I wanted everybody, I want to tell everybody about the Bible. And then I took a class from D. James Kennedy that just said, slow down, use the Holy Spirit, and then just look for red flags every day. Maybe the janitor with a depressive countenance on his face. Whatever. And so that really, there's a lot of similarities, obviously, what we're learning about the first principles. But if I had any advice, is as you get older, if I have any drop of wisdom, is, the Holy Spirit is a helper, and it's like refueling. So you have that source anytime you want to. And so I kind of like the picture of the upper room where all the apostles have a tongue of fire. I mean, once you're saved, you have access to the man that created the universe. So my point is, what helped me a lot was, you don't have to go witness to everybody. If you want to, and God calls you to do that, yeah, go out on the corner, and that's nothing wrong with that. But I think what God did, because he has a relationship with us, he wants us to establish a relationship with someone that you're witnessing to. And most of the time, if you're going to do that, you better be prepared to have that relationship for life. So the commitments and the struggles that are so hard, just ask for the Holy Spirit, because he does work. And there's a lot of rough demographics out there that people are called to witness to, and it's hard. So you have to have a source. And then I'm going to end with, I happen to see Charlie Kirk and Bill Maher. Those are the types of things I think everybody should really watch, because one of the gentlemen is totally lost, but intellectually had amazing argue points. And then Charlie was amazing as far as, you know, it, sometimes you got to take a few arrows. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Thanks, Chuck.
Powered by the Spirit to be ready to share the gospel with our words and our lives. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, mine is just a couple quick. I'm John, by the way. A couple quick thoughts I had. In our small group, one of the things that's coming out of thinking about the gospel again is how frequently I think we all have this understanding of what the gospel is, but it's actually pretty hard to put it into words quickly. So we've been practicing saying it to each other each time we meet. And it's been really wonderful having different tellings of the gospel from different people every week. And it's like a big encouragement. So I think Elijah had one where he came into the room and was like, yeah, I've been thinking about how I'd share the gospel with someone who has never even heard anything about the Christian perspective. So that had a flavor to it, right? And then Aubrey gave the gospel in a sense and how she had explained it to her kids. And then Whitney had a way she had given the gospel to kids at school. And so it's just been really refreshing, remembering that the gospel touches every area of life. The truth is consistent, and yet as you look at it through all these different lenses, it's kind of this beautiful thing. And so, me personally, one reflection I'm coming away with is I want to spend regular time considering how the gospel gives a better way for living in every scenario. And I think this thought of having a basic set of principles is helpful for that, because it gives me like a footing. No matter what situation I'm in, I can be thinking about how does the gospel change how I'm going to act in the next 20 seconds. So that was my quick thought.
I've been in enough of these meetings to know that a lot of you folks have definite thoughts. Probably won't be spoken this morning. But I just want you to, for my take, for what it's worth, nothing that's been brought up thus far that I've found to be unbiblical. And from a practical standpoint, I know these men. I've served with them, at times not gotten along with various ones, but I know their heart. I've talked to Phil, I've talked to Tom, and various ones. And their heart is right in what they're trying to do here. But it's new. Not totally new. I mean, this is something we know, but some of us haven't implemented it. Doctrine is not just for knowledge, it's for living out of life. And so, yes, I have questions still, but nothing that I've seen thus far is unbiblical, unscriptural. I know the heart of the men who have been called to leadership here. And so for that reason, you know, I'm not going to say I'm on board, but I agree with everything that's been said thus far. I think we have to trust our leadership and try to determine whether or not we're upset because of a preference or a conviction. Hopefully we live by convictions.
Thanks, Bob.
I think something that is landing for me is you can't do it alone. You have to have people around you. And that's the living portion of it, is to get connected and have those relationships with you, because it's not worth it to do this by yourself, but in a community as well.
Thanks, Lacey. I knew you'd stick your hand up.
So one of the things that I wrote down, I really liked when Tom said, take your thoughts captive. I think what you think in your head is really important. And I kind of wrote down some of the things that I spend my time on. And I was like, I ordered them and like which things lead me closer to Jesus and which things don't. And so I came up with like worrying was something that did not lead me to Jesus. And something that took up a lot of my time. Like, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to afford this, do this? And trusting in Jesus, I think, eliminates that. And it gives us the time and the power to be able to lead others to Christ. Because we don't have to worry about what we're doing tomorrow. We can have, by his power, we can carry out what he's told us to do.
That's, I wanted to follow up with that because I think last week as I was doing the review, I don't know that I was crystal clear on like what we mean by first principles and renewing our minds around those. And it has to do with exactly kind of the example that David's giving us, where there's a way of thinking about something that is worldly in its orientation, but we need to renew our minds to think through that system and all that issue in a way that centers in Christ. And so there's a discipline that's needed for that. So I think like you did, writing down, these are the things that occupy my mind, is a great practical outgrowth of that, of, you know, how is this influencing me in my day to day? Yeah. So thanks for illustrating that. Good. Yeah. We got time for maybe a couple more and then we're going to wrap. But what else have you learned? What stood out to you? Anything like that?
Hi, I'm Paige. This is more of just like a thank you, I guess, to the church and to the church body and to the pastor and everyone who has touched our lives. I don't know if a lot of you know, but we've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations since we moved here to Hutch. Just like career and a lot of other struggles and stuff. And this church has swayed a lot of those decisions that we've had to make. And you guys have really touched us, and we're very thankful for all of you. And I'm thankful for small groups and for Bible studies. And if you don't go to any of those, I encourage you to go. It has strengthened my faith. It has deepened my faith. And I love all these people and just everyone that has helped pray and be around. And even just the little texts here and there I get from people, they really help. And so, yeah, I just want to thank everyone in here, and especially Pastor Phil. Like, his sermons, he's not afraid to go deeper. And those statistics that Jason shared, they're appalling, but like, I believe they're true because, I mean, we visited before this church. We went to different churches, and I felt like they were very surface level. And then when we found this one, it was just, I don't know, something is, you can tell that Christ is in this church and in this body. And yeah, so I truly do want to thank you, for me and Alex and our family, from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much for helping us grow in our faith.
Yeah, I just want to affirm, Paige, too, that, I mean, we've seen the growth in you, too. Like, how you first handled crisis when you first came here, and it was just debilitating in the world, and the sky was falling. And now you face that, and you have deeper roots, and it just, as the kids say, hits different. You know, you're handling, I mean, you guys are walking through the trials still, but you handle them differently because you're rooted in Christ. I mean, it's so refreshing to see, so thank you for giving voice to that.
And I'd like, just to add to that, I want to make a distinction here. She said about, I've never seen you go so deep here. And yet I've had people tell me, man, we're just so shallow. Really? If you want us to go deeper into what the atonement meant, if you want to go into deeper into justification by faith meant, if that's what you mean by deeper, and some of those things, she's talking about living out these principles in our lives with one another. She's talking about loving one another, as I've mentioned twice now, love one another as I've loved you. That's the deeper.
Yeah.
When we see it in our lives with one another, that's the deeper. Not how much I know about election or predestination. As important as those things are, we can have it, sit down and have a discussion and teach about it. The deeper is loving one another within this church body, that the world sees it and says, I want that.
Yeah, good. Okay. Tom's just fighting to get a sermon in, so he's working hard. He's got it right there. All good. All good. That's great. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that.
And don't make that, just so y'all know, in some of our meetings we have and stuff we go, hey, I won't say anybody's name here. I won't put them on the spot. What do you think? Hey, Alan, what do you think?
Oh, boy.
Okay. This is how we learn from one another. I love this guy.
So how about that Iran war? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, going back to what Jason said with the shovel, and I know me, I'm like a rebel.
Alan, can you lift the mic up? Yeah, thank
you. I'm like a rebel, so instantly someone telling me what to do, I don't like it. But I think, like, really as I work through this, I think back to, like, at the end of Matthew 7, where Jesus goes through the Sermon on the Mount, where you have two people, right, two types of people that outwardly look like believers. And he gives that warning that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you know, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think what we're trying to get at is just not quantity of worship, not the outward of going through the motions, more programs, but really like a sincerity in our walk with Christ, you know? And like going through our prayer in Ephesians 3, where it's, you know, you have the Spirit, the power of the Spirit in your inner being, right? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts, right? Well, how much time do you spend in your life working on your inner being, right? We all like watch football. We all go hunting, right? Like, I do a lot of things that waste my time. But Jesus is concerned with what we do to build up our, our heavenly treasure. He wants you to put forth your effort, your resources into eternal things. And so I look at this as just the inroads to start that, right? Like Galatians 2:20. You know, it's like I died on the cross with Christ, and now it is Christ that lives within me, right? And when we say, like, Christ lives in me, it's the life of Christ, all that he did, building his church and so forth. And you as a Christian is just, right, it's in the community. It's in the body, right? That's how we walk in the Spirit. That's how we live that life. So that's all I got.
Yep, good. I think I'm going to call time, and some of you may have other stuff to share. If you want to come up afterwards, we'll be down front. We'd love to hear and talk to you. And thank you all for sharing. I hope that helps you as a body, helps us as a body to know. Next week, we're going to kind of make a, we're going to think about missions a little bit in the intervening time, and then we're going to be eyeing Easter coming in just a few weeks. So that's where we're headed in the coming weeks. As our team comes to lead us in a closing song, let me pray, and then we'll stand and sing together. So, Father, thank you so much for all that you're doing to build your church. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving the plan clear for us, that we go and make disciples by baptizing and teaching one another to observe all that you've commanded. And thank you for being with us to the very end of the age as we go after this work. And so we feel your presence here. We sense it. We know you're with us in this work. And so would you be glorified as we put these things into practice? And just thank you for the sharpening of this morning and how somebody in this body can speak into one another's lives, and let that continue in our smaller groups. Let that continue through our lives. We want you to be glorious. And as Jason gave that vision at the start, we want every person in this room to be presented mature to you someday. That's the goal we're after. We want maturity to be what you see in us when you come or take us home. So would you work these things in our lives? Continue to do that work. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.